you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm Rob Artigo, writer and business owner. Hello, Mr. Zinn. Ready for another big topic?
Let's do it, Rob.
A CNBC.com column said this. It said, tech workers are the envy of the labor market. They earn some of the highest starting salaries and often command top-notch benefits. But the money doesn't always buy satisfaction, it goes on to say. Entrepreneur reports that tech workers in major American cities earn an average of $135,000 a year, and yet a survey of 6,000 tech workers conducted by a workplace act called Blind and reported by Quartz found that over 60% feel they aren't being paid enough. So let's talk about salaries and cost of living. Employees are bound to, you know, feel underpaid, even if they're making six figures, if they can't buy a house. I know how it felt when I lived in the Bay Area and I couldn't afford a house and my rent just kept going up. So what's more at play here in your mind, just as a starting off point, is it, are we talking about runaway inflation or cost of living in the key markets, or is it over expectations for what people should actually be able to earn in most of these tech jobs?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a combination. I know that in the Bay Area, it's, you know, where I live, and it's very expensive. And this, it keeps getting more expensive. But I've also heard, talking to a number of people that I know very well who work in these tech companies, because they're getting paid a big salary, the expectations are higher. In other words, you know, the company wants more out of you. And so there's a lot of dissatisfaction with the fact that you're having to give up your family time, as you would, or your personal time, mm-hmm. to satisfy this big salary you're getting. So the big salary is not always what it's cracked up to be. In Helena, Montana, where I also live, the people are paid one third less than the average in the Bay Area for the same position, even though the housing and the cost of living may be, you know, a third less or even less than that. They're happier because the companies don't demand as much from you in a way of your personal time with your family or individually. And so that makes it an easier place, a more happy place to work. So if you're trapped in a tech company where, you know, you got these ridiculous demands put on it, placed upon you, that can cause a lot of frustration and unhappiness.
You know, you've talked about it here on this podcast, and I'm sure covered it in your books, about the fact that people can be overworked because they think they have to work in the Bay Area. They think they have to work for the big company with $135,000 salary, and they think they have to work 80 hours a week. And the truth is, there's probably an alternative to that out there somewhere if they look hard enough, right?
Well, it's prestige, too, to work for a high-tech company like a Google or mm-hmm. a Facebook or a Twitter or whatever. And so they like that on their resume. So they do like working for these high profile companies as opposed to a smaller, low profile company that doesn't have the same brand. You know, can you kind of get what you pay for? So in the Bay Area, there's a lot of competition for quality tech workers. And so these companies have to keep ratcheting up the salaries, but they also keep ratcheting up the demands. So I think that's a catch 22 that I think people find themselves in.
Which one do you think will, I guess because we're both very familiar with the Bay Area, so we'll use that as the chief example, but I know that other cities are suffering some of the same cost of living matters like New York and I guess, you know, Seattle. So if we're talking about rising cost of living and we're watching it go up and up and up and we see some crazy numbers out there, we see, you know, half, you know, moth-eaten houses that are falling down with sagging roofs that are going for $1.5 million in weird places.
Probably not quite that bad.
a little hyperbole. Never heard anybody now and then. But if you go in there and you're paying a lot for something that you really, just a few years ago, you wouldn't pay $425 for, you're paying something that's, upwards pushing, $1 million for the property and the house. How does that give? What happens? When do you see the market balancing out so that people who are making six figures in the Bay Area or whatever, I mean, maybe the whatever the salary is and whatever the cost of living is ends up matching up better?
Well, it's a supply and demand. So you can't blame this all on the companies or the workers.
Right.
It's a supply and demand mm-hmm. problem. So, if there's not enough housing, then these costs are going to go up. If the jobs drop off, if these companies start running into trouble and they start laying off workers, then of course that will all make available more housing, and then people end up moving to some other place. So it's not so easy just to blame it all on housing.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you look at it from an educated point of view, from somebody who's worked in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley, in the business industry, and looked at all those dynamics over and over again. But when you're when you're the guy, say let's say a 30-year-old tech worker, and you're living in the Bay Area, and you want to raise your family, it becomes really easy to blame the cost of living for all your problems. I found myself feeling that way certainly too, as I thought, wow, I'm making good money, but I'm not getting anywhere. And so it can get old.
Well, it's not, you're focusing only on the cost of living. A lot of it's commute time. So some of these people are having to drive an hour to 2 hours each way to work. And that eats up a lot of your day. Then if you have to put in a lot of hours, you hardly have any time to sleep. So I think a great part of this is that these people that have to move, 60 to 100 miles away from work are spending a lot of time traveling and commuting. So that's causing a problem. And with the improved economy that we're seeing now, that's also putting a lot more cars on the freeway. So maybe your commute time was let's say 15 minutes, 4 or 5 years ago. It's now a half hour, 45 minutes because of the traffic on the freeway.
It's going to be interesting to see where it goes, because it's market forces, like you said, and it'll be interesting to see when it starts to balance out a little bit and the massive swings and increases in cost of living are adjusted a little bit. And I just don't see it driving the big companies out, because they have such a huge footprint in the Bay Area now. I just don't see that happening soon.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a combination of a lot of things, just the traffic, the cost of living, the lack of housing, the frustration at work, the hours you have to put in. It's just a combination. It's not just one thing.
Thanks again, Ray.
You're welcome, Rob. Thanks for doing this podcast with me.
Sure. As always, you can reach out to Ray Zinn with your questions at toughthingsfirst.com. You can continue your education and the conversation with all of the podcasts, CS blogs, and links to information about the book Tough Things First. Also, check out Ray's new book, The Zen of Zinn. It's a collection of writings on interrelated topics of entrepreneurship, leadership, management, discipline, determination, society, people, and life. A lot of what you get here, and some great thoughts as well. I think of them as daily affirmations, sometimes nice daily reflections, if you will. Thanks again. That book is called The Zen of Zinn.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate that.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.